In the streets around the convention, another day of protest is underway. Among the planned events, a run against Bush relay race and a mass panty flash of saucily sloganed undergarments. After 3 days of demonstrations at the RNC, ranging from the humorous to the impassioned, police say they have arrested more than 1,500 people. Many of the clashes came last night with groups that did not have protest permits. While the news leading up to the convention focused on possible tactics of the demonstrators, the spotlight now is on the tactics of the police. Joining us from Brooklyn, New York, is Alex Vitale, a sociology professor at Brooklyn College. He's been studying the interactions between police and protesters this week, and good of you to join us.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
I guess your work has taken you to a lot of the big protests over the past few days. In general, can you describe what the police tactics have been?
Well, I would say it's been a kind of Jekyll and Hyde approach. For many demonstrations, both permitted and unpermitted, we've seen exactly the kind of flexible policing that you would want to see to protect people's First Amendment rights. On the other hand, we've seen a number of demonstrations, some permitted, some unpermitted, where the police have used very heavy-handed tactics and made a number of arrests. And I think we've seen some problems in them being able to distinguish between lawful and unlawful protest activity.
Some have described some of these as preemptive arrests.
Well, that's what I witnessed both Sunday evening and during the day on yesterday. Small groups gathering, preparing to take part in protest activity on the sidewalk, the police coming in often without making any warning and throwing up orange sort of snow fencing around these protesters and just declaring them all under arrest.
And that others say that a lot of people have been picked up and not necessarily even charged with anything. They just drive them around for a while or hold them and then let them go.
Well, we do know some cases of that, but I think more troubling are the people who are being held in a former bus depot who are being held for long periods of time in pretty bad conditions.
The technique of using this this fencing, I mean, obviously there've been a lot of talk about activists organizing all kinds of new kinds of demonstrations, using the web to organize flash mobs, that sort of thing. But since there have been police at every venue they show up at, it sounds like the police have the technology figured out.
Well, the police have used a couple of new tactics this week during the Republican convention. This webbing is actually in some ways an improvement over past policing. It reduces the need for the police to physically use force to contain people who are under arrest, and I don't think anyone has a problem with that. It's who they're deciding to arrest. The other tactic that they've developed is the use of large numbers of undercover police officers on scooters, and I think that's been a much more serious problem.
It was one of those officers who was, rather severely beaten the other night.
Yeah, a very troubling incident where a large number of these ununiformed, unmarked scooter officers ran into a crowd that was demonstrating in a permitted area, and evidently they just rode right into the crowd. I was standing there, and sometime during that, one of them was pulled off the motorcycle and unfortunately suffered serious injuries.
Scooters. The New York City police are famed for their use of police horses, which are very intimidating, and they give police a platform to sit above and watch what's going on. Scooters, have they replaced horses?
No, we've seen both in use. The scooters are better to handle marches because they can go sort of at the same level as the demonstrators. We haven't seen a lot of horses used this week, although there have been some occasions where they've been used to clear people off sidewalks. So I think that it's really a combination of tactics for different kinds of situations.
Well, thanks very much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Good afternoon.
Alex Vitale is a professor of sociology at Brooklyn College and co-author of a report with the New York Civil Liberties Union on last year's anti-war protests in New York. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Joining us now is George Rodriguez, Vice President of Security for GVI Security Solutions, a veteran of a 30-year law enforcement career with several federal agencies. He's with us from Kansas City, Kansas, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
So far this week, the New York police have proved very successful at anticipating and thwarting potentially disruptive protests. Have police departments really changed their thinking about crowd control since, the Los Angeles riots or even the World Trade Organization protests in Seattle?
Unfortunately, they've had plenty of experience over the last several years to where they had to really improve their tactics. I would have to answer yes, that it's changed considerably for the better.
In what ways?
Well, for one thing, they have not lost focus of what the, you know, what the real danger out there is. It would be a terrorist act. And remember, these demonstrators could serve really as a distraction to the police. If they're focusing totally on the demonstrators, then it would make it certainly make it a heck of a lot easier for a terrorist to take a more disruptive action against them. So, I mean, you have to keep that in the back of your mind, that by controlling the crowds, it gives them the ability to be able to focus on the larger problem.
How are they using technology differently?
Well, technology, there's many, many uses that they can use. Well, one of them, obviously, is the use of CCTV systems, closed-circuit television systems, to be able to increase the number of eyes that are out there. And there's so many systems that are out there now, and including ours, that give you an ability to be able to discern whether you have a larger problem.
We heard from our last guest what he described as preemptive arrests. What does that look like from the law enforcement side?
I mean, preemptive arrest, that's kind of hard to define. I mean, you have to have an arrest, you basically have to have a violation of law. What a seasoned officer sometimes has discretion in whether he's going to give a ticket or whether he's going to arrest a person, but generally a law enforcement officer cannot make an arrest unless there is a violation of law. And what I've always liked to say is that a local police officer within their jurisdiction, in this case in New York City, is probably the most the most powerful law enforcement official there, because he can enforce not only the municipal laws but the state laws as well as the federal laws. So that's a pretty powerful tool to use. And again, in a demonstration type situation, I doubt very seriously if they're arresting people without actually having a criminal charge.
I understand you used to work for the man who's now New York City's police commissioner, Raymond Kelly.
Yes, I did. For a year's period of time, I served as a deputy associate director in charge of operations and law enforcement operations for ATF in Washington.
The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, but go ahead.
Correct. A lot of people don't know it. In law enforcement circles, they certainly do. And Mr. Kelly was in charge of all enforcement for the United States Treasury Department, which meant that he was in charge of not only ATF, but Secret Service, as well as U.S. Customs, as well as the IRS enforcement arm. The one thing that amazed me about Ray Kelly is that, and I know it for personally, is that Ray Kelly knows operations, special operations, tactical operations, because I've had to be questioned by him on numerous occasions on some tactical operations. And I was amazed at his knowledge, and learned to find out that most of his career with NYPD was in special operations. But he blends it very, very well, because he has the other side. He's also an attorney, so he certainly should understand the civil rights portion of it.
Well, it seems likely that this week's protests are going to result in a number of suits against the city, speaking of his background as an attorney. Is this kind of thing inevitable, given the circumstances?
There's no question. Anytime you do take action, there's going to be some people that are they're going to feel offended, and certainly our great country gives us the right to file a civil lawsuit. But again, I take it back to what my original statement was. You know, the police need to really focus on that, which is the larger vulnerability, and that is a terrorist act. The demonstrators really are just serving as a distraction to the safety of the entire city of New York.
George Rodriguez, thank you for your views.
Thank you.
George Rodriguez, Vice President of Security and Law Enforcement Applications for GVI Security Solutions, and he was with us today from Kansas City, Kansas. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.